We shall now turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 1, and our text for this morning is verse 18. Isaiah, chapter 1, and verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, and let us reason together. We all have a major problem in our lives. And that problem is sin. We're all sinners, born sinners, sin every day of our lives. And God is a holy God, a God who hates sin, and a God who must punish sin. He is just, infinitely just. And he can't tolerate sin. He has to punish it. God created us. He rules over us. And he will judge us. And we're all rebels against his rule. But here we have the gospel. The glad tidings of great joy. An amazing offer is made to you and me. Come now and let us reason together. Big sinner that you are, deserving to go to hell forever, come now and let us reason together, says the Holy God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, demanding judgment, demanding punishment, they shall be as wool. Isaiah is a great gospel preacher. Yes, here we have him in the Old Testament, and he's preaching right at the very beginning of his great book of prophecy, 66 chapters of gospel. That's what we have in the whole scripture from Genesis to Revelation. The glad tidings of great joy. There's a Savior, a mighty Savior. A Savior is saying, look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Look and be saved. And if you look, you will be saved. So then, in considering this wonderful verse today, I would like us first to think about our problem, this sin that we keep talking about. God created us perfect. Adam was in the image of God, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. When he came from the hand of God, he was very good, very holy, very righteous. There was no sin there whatsoever. And he stood as our representative. He was our great covenant head. There he was in the Garden of Eden. And he had free will to choose to do good or to choose to do evil. And you know what he did. There in the middle of the garden was the test, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And Adam went, took the fruit, and ate it, sinned against God. He sinned, we sinned in him. He was our representative. He was a far better, stronger man than you or I could be. He was sinless. He had free will to choose what is good, but he chose what was evil. He sinned. And he rebelled against God. And we sinned, and we rebelled against God. And so we're born sinners. Look at the way the prophecy begins. Verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Listen, God is speaking. And what's he saying? I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Think of what God did for Israel. There they were, slaves in the land of Egypt, under the lash of the Pharaohs, building cities for him, working as slaves for first Pharaoh. And they cried, and they sighed, and they yearned, and the Lord had mercy upon them, and sent Moses to them, and delivered them from Egypt, and took them out, brought them through the wilderness, and brought them to the wonderful promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God gave to them cities that they did not build, houses that were furnished for them, vineyards and olive yards that they hadn't planted, fields that they hadn't cultivated. They went in and they possessed the land. God blessed them on every side. I have nourished and brought up children. And God has nourished and brought up you too, hasn't he? How blessed you and I have been. God, in his great mercy, caused us to be born in this country where we have freedom, where we have prosperity. We were born, many of us, in Christian homes where we were loved for and cared for and taught and trained and encouraged in the things of God. And God has provided us with food and with clothes, with shelter, with jobs, with money, with so many good things. And why is God providing us with all these good things? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It should. All these good things should be leading us to repent of sin, to turn from it, to live godly lives. But instead, what have we done? We've gone our own way. We've pleased ourselves. We've lived for our own pleasure. We've gone our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one running in different directions after our pleasure. We've become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. How blessed we have been. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib. These dumb animals, they know where their home is. They know who feeds them, who cares for them, who looks after them. Even the ox and the ass, they show some understanding, some appreciation for the kindness shown to them. But you Israel, whom I brought out of Egypt, you Israel, whom I've cared for and provided for and blessed, you, yes, you here today too, I have nourished and brought up children. God has blessed you and prospered you and cared for you. And what have you done to God? For all the good things God has given you, you can look across the world today. There are people living in terrible situations. Some people in famine, some people in refugee camps, some people in war-torn countries, some people who are oppressed, some who are born into slavery. There's all kinds of violence and trouble and pain and suffering in the world. But you and I, how blessed we are. What wonderful lives God has given us. Do we appreciate it? Do we respond to God for his goodness and his kindness to us? Are we worse than the ox and the ass that doesn't have that knows its maker? Why, says God, should ye be stricken any more? A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, who have forsaken the Lord, who have turned away backward, provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Spiritually, we're like lepers. We're like diseased people. From the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, we're just a mess because of the way we've sinned against God. Your country is desolate. Your cities burn with fire. The daughter of Zion has left us a cottage in a vineyard, a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a small remnant, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. Thank God for the godly that are still to be found in our country. And it's because of them that we have so much freedom and prosperity today. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to our God, ye people of Gomorrah. God is calling Judah Sodom, and he's calling you and me Sodom and Gomorrah too, because of the way we've turned our back upon him, broken his commandments, trampled his law underfoot, destroyed his ordinance of marriage that he has given us, using the Sabbath day for our own pleasure. Every commandment we've broken, blaspheming his holy name, covetousness and greed ruling our nation. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? So much hypocrisy around, so much hypocrisy in the church. You come with your sacrifices, as it were, to God, and yet it's the worship of your lips rather than of your heart. I'm full of your burnt offerings of rams and fat beasts. When you appear before me, you're treading and trampling my courts, not coming in reverence, not coming in subjection to me and in love to me, but thinking you're so good. There's so much hypocritical religion, formal Christianity in our land, is there not? Bring no more vain oblations, and incense is an abomination unto me. Your new moons, your Sabbaths, your calling of assemblies, your solemn feasts, I cannot, away with them. I'm weary of them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my face from you. When you make your prayers, I will not hear. That's what God's saying to Judah. And that's what God's saying to us. We're coming with our prayers, but because we're so hypocritical, there's so much pretense, God's not going to listen. God's angry with us. We're not genuine. We're not facing up to the reality of our sins. We're not humbling ourselves before the Lord. We're not turning to him with our whole heart. And even our Christianity is so superficial. It's kind of mocking God. Where's real devotion? Where's real love for the Lord? Where's real zeal for his cause? Our problem, sin. And our religion, ritual. But then, secondly, notice the invitation. Come now, and let us reason together. Come to me. Come now and let us talk, says God. Remember, when God came into the Garden of Eden after Adam sinned, what did Adam do? He ran away and he hid in the trees and the bushes. And what has man been doing ever since? Running away from God and hiding. God says, come. and you run away from him. You don't come. God is angry with sinners. God's wrath is against men and women who have broken his commandments. Remember what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah, how he burnt up these cities with fire and brimstone. Remember what he did to the ancient world in the days of Noah. He destroyed the world with a flood. Every man, woman, and child, even the animals and the birds, were destroyed, apart from that which was in the ark. Come, he says now. This God is holy. This God who knows we've sinned. He says to us, come. He pleads with us. But he won't always say, come. If we don't come, one day he'll say, depart. Go away. Depart from me, ye cursed, into that place prepared for the devil and his angels. I was thinking today as I was driving down to the church, seeing all these people wandering around Victoria Park and out running and couldn't care less about God. And yet eternity is in the heart of man. People know there's a God. They know they're going to die. What do they think? What's God going to do? Well, I'm not that big a sinner, really. I haven't done anything terribly wrong. I'm not a thief. I'm not a murderer. I'm sure I'll get to heaven. I can forget about God. I can please myself. I can live the way I like. And when I die, if there is a God, if there's a heaven and a hell, I won't go to hell. God couldn't possibly do that with me. I'm too good for that. I'm not bad enough for hell. No, no, I'll get to heaven. Everything will be fine. No need to worry. How foolish. How ignorant. How stupid. God has spoken. God's not silent. He's given us his word. And he's told us there plainly, there's a judgment day. And if we don't repent, we'll go to hell. And hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth forever. The wages of sin is death. Death, death forever. Yes. Take it down. The wages of sin is death. But God is saying, come now and let us reason together. Come to me. Come now and get things sorted out. Come now and make your peace with God. And you're there and you're saying, one day, someday, maybe, yes, one day I'll make my peace with God. And that one day will never come. It will never come. I'm old enough to have known many a person in my day, many a lovely person, many a person who said to me, one day I'll be converted, one day I'll become a Christian. And they died. And they're gone. And where are they today? In hell. And are you following them? Come now, let us reason together, says God. Why would you perish? Why would you end up in hell? When there's an invitation, there's a way of salvation. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. An amazing invitation. An invitation from the judge who hates your sin and your behavior, and mine as well. And the judge of all the earth, who destroyed the ancient world with a flood, who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in a forerunning, in a foreshowing of what will happen on the judgment day. He's saying to us, come now and let us reason together. Come and make peace with God. One day he's going to destroy this world with fire. And where will you be on that day? Today he's saying, come. Tomorrow he'll say, depart. Yes, he's saying, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived. Doesn't matter the things you've done, how great your sins are. The amazing thing is that publicans and harlots shall enter the kingdom of heaven, and the children of the kingdom and the children of godly parents will be cast into hell. Is that what's going to happen to you? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. We think of David. David who committed adultery and murder. And David's in heaven. We think of Manasseh, who made the streets of Jerusalem run with the blood of the prophets, who turned Israel from the worship of God to idols, and in the end, Manasseh humbled himself, repented, and was pardoned. We think of David, we think of Peter, who denied his Lord with oaths and curses. Peter's in heaven. We think of Paul, the persecutor and the blasphemer. He's in heaven. And we think of the children of godly parents, and some of them are in hell. An invitation. But then thirdly, how can God be just and justify the sinner? How can God be good and have mercy on the wicked? How can God be good and take rapists and murderers into heaven? Child abusers into heaven? How can God be good and save you, you people of Sodom and you children of Gomorrah? And that's where the gospel comes in. That's where God in his amazing love gives us his own son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. At great expense to himself, the Lord provided a way of escape for every sinner who comes to him. The Son of God came, took our nature, took a body and a soul like us, lived in this world, tempted in all points like as we are, took our sin and took our place, suffered and died on the cross of Calvary. He endured our hell in our place. And now he says, look to me, come to me, and you'll be saved. He made his soul an offering for sin, an offering for the pardon of sinners, an offering that was accepted by God. He became our substitute, took our place. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's how John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the world of his day. Behold the Lamb of God. Look at him, the sacrificial lamb. Look at him, the one who's going to suffer and die. Look at him on whom our sins are going to be laid, who's going to suffer in our room and place in order to make peace for us. Behold the Lamb of God. He took our sins upon himself. He was punished for us. He becomes the scarlet one, and he is covered with our crimson crimes. Amazing when you read in the Psalm 69, that great messianic psalm. You read the words of Jesus there in that psalm, Psalm 69. And he says there, Lord, thou my folly knows, my sins not hidden are from thee. How could Jesus talk of his folly? How could the Holy One of Israel talk of his sins? It's not his sins. It's my sins. It's your sins laid on him. Lord, thou my folly knows. But there was no folly in Christ, but he takes our folly upon himself. My sins not hidden are from thee. He bears our sins in his own body on the tree. Covered in our sins, he had committed no sins of his own, but God's amazing grace, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace laid upon him. By his stripes, by his lashes, we are healed. How wonderfully God shows his love to men and women. How wonderfully the Son of God displays his grace to us. We are provided with a Savior. The judge of all the earth provides us with his own Son to suffer and die for our crimes. Come now, he says, and let us reason together. But fourthly, there's one condition. One condition in order to be saved. Come. And if you don't come, you won't be saved. And if you come, you will be saved. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. No way. Come. Believe in his mercy. Come with your crimson sins, with your scarlet transgressions. Come before him. Look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean. What's going to wash away your sins? The waters of baptism? Never. Water cannot wash away sin. There's only one thing that will wash away your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ. Come and wash. Take the blood of Jesus Christ. That will remove every guilty stain. Though your sins be as scarlet, apply the blood. Look to Christ and his sufferings and his death. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Repent and be converted. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you will hear, if you will obey, you shall eat the good of the land. Good of the land of promise and the good of heaven forever. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword of God's judgment. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And God is a God who cannot lie. He doesn't make empty threats. He doesn't pretend. What God says happens. And so there's a call to come and to wash, to face up to the reality of your sin, and to realize your need of pardon and of forgiveness. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Come. Come with a burden. What burden? The burden of your sins. The burden of your guilt. The burden of God's wrath that's against you. Come now, and you shall find rest. Drop your burden at the cross and rejoice in Jesus Christ, who says, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Savior who takes away your sins. Come now. Come now. But remember, come is not a work. It's not your coming that earns salvation. It's not repenting that deserves salvation. Christ earned the salvation. But you must come. You must look. He has done it. The work is completed. Salvation has been accomplished. Receive the free gift. Accept the Savior. And give all glory to God. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's two kinds of repentance. There's evangelical repentance and legal repentance. Legal repentance is turning from sin because of a fear of judgment and thinking that your turning from sin is earning you forgiveness. Evangelical repentance is seeing sin in the light of the cross. Seeing your sins as the nails that crucified the Savior, that nailed him to that tree. Evangelical repentance. It's not the fear of hell. It's the hatred of sin as that which is the opposite of God. Come now and let us reason together. Come now to the Lord. Come for forgiveness. Come for salvation. Come and receive mercy. Come and be pardoned. Come and be accepted with God. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing, and if ye be obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. gospel is here for you today, and the Savior is saying, come. Come to me. Come and be pardoned. Let's pray.